got it right here, praise God, running around every Sunday, giving me a high five, hallelujah, amen. And the substance of things hoped for, praise the Lord, amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn again. We're going to continue to talk on the subject and preach on the subject and hopefully bring some things out tonight that we haven't touched so far, but I need to read because each of these stand as an individual teaching on the power and privilege of having God as your covenant friend. Every time I start prefacing this, it leads us into different directions. And some of it is the same and some of it takes us further. But your Bible is absolutely divided between Old and New Covenant. I know it says Testament on there, and that's not a bad word, but it doesn't give you the complete understanding. Amen. When Jesus lifted up the cup, he said, "This is the New Testament in my blood," at the Lord's Supper that we use and the church has adopted to celebrate, to remember him as he asked us to do through that process. He actually said to them in the Greek language, they heard it very clearly, "This is the New Testament." Covenant. We can read from the old covenant that I will establish a new covenant, and it will involve not just a forgiveness of sin, but a change within the heart. Can you say amen in this wonderful new covenant where people are changed from the inside out? And we can read all about that new covenant. But one thing is really important to grasp here. You will never understand. I will never understand. There's no way to comprehend the language of the new covenant if we don't see it as covenant language. You won't understand what Jesus meant and the real depth of the meaning when he said, "I've not called you servants, I've called you friends." We're not talking about the best friend you have here on earth. We're talking about a covenant friend. That's covenant language. And it is a friendship that has been based on a mutual commitment that is deeper than any contract, any kind of legal thing that we could ever be involved in. God committed himself to ancient Israel to establish them as a people, to show the strength of his covenant, to show the glory of his name. He chose the least likely and the least lovable to demonstrate his faithfulness, not to demonstrate their faithfulness. Can you say amen? Everybody say the least likely and the least lovable. And we've got verification for that in Scripture, amen, that he chose the least likely and the least lovable. He said, "I didn't choose you because you were greater than any other people. And I didn't choose you because you were more in number." Amen. Did you know the nation of Israel is about the size of New Jersey? This nation of people, this whole land called the Promised Land, is about the size of New Jersey. It's just kind of swallowed up among the nations. And yet he said, "I didn't choose you because you're more in number. There's nothing honorable that made me choose you." Well, why in the world did he choose you? He said, number one, that I may keep my covenant with Abraham. Can you say amen? This is covenant stuff. And this is not about your worthiness so much as it is my faithfulness. Everybody say it's about his faithfulness. And if he wanted to demonstrate his faithfulness, amen, he's got to find people that are really going to need him to be the one that is the strength of that covenant, not them. They broke it many times. But every time they came back, regardless of what brought them back, their own sin got them in trouble, and the trouble their sin caused them to turn back to God. But every time they came back, what did they find in the old covenant? In any of the readings, when they came back and truly repented, what happened? God restored. Literally, there's a term used over and over when the restoration began. God restored their fortunes. And don't just think about, amen, this heap of money. We got a Scrooge McDuck mentality. Have you ever read the comics in the church today? Amen. My fortunes go way beyond anything that... Listen, when he gave them back their families, when he gave them back their lands, when he gave them back their legacies, when he gave them back their heritage, when he gave them back, amen, that temple worship, when he said, "If the rains don't come and you make your prayer toward this place, I'm going to supernaturally move in your behalf. If enemies come against you, make your prayer here. Come here and pray unto me, and I will rise up against your enemies." Can you say amen? So when you think of their fortunes, don't just see dollar bills. Something better than dollar bills. I know it's hard to believe in our culture, but it's got to be better than dollar bills. Their fortunes was their land, their heritage, their covenant, relationship with Him. He said, I'm going to give you back all of that. He calls that true riches in the New Testament. Jesus said, if you don't know how to handle, amen, the currency of this world, how are you going to really handle true riches? Can you say amen? I think it comes down to the fact that it's all right to have money if money doesn't have you. But it's awful hard to have it without it getting you. You really need to be mature spiritually and have a spiritual perspective and look through the lens of the Spirit and not through the lens of the flesh. Amen? So when you hear this covenant stuff, people have abused that. Don't ever throw out the baby with the bathwater. If I threw out every doctrine that's been abused, I wouldn't speak in tongues anymore. I wouldn't prophesy anymore. There's large portions of the Bible I couldn't preach on because someone's taken it and tainted it. But there is a balance. There is a truth to be found here. And the truth is, God started this whole thing with a covenant. And the covenant is still going on. Amen. It's separated between the old and the new. But covenant stuff is still going on. So when Jesus said, I've called you friends, it's like, not like me and Mike are friends. Or me and Doug are friends. Or me and Sean are friends. We were off one week. Sean said, if you need any help at the church, I'll help you. I said, he's off. I'm off. We'll go down there, you know, and now I'm really off. And I don't mean off in the sense that some people think I am. I mean, I'm you know what, I'm a full-time minister again at this point. So, but, you know, it rained every day. Every single day it rained, so I never connected with him. Doug offered to come and help me. Why? Well, there are people here that would help me. One time I walked all the way from we lived out near 301 in Fowler. And I walked all the way because my car was in the shop. I walked all the way to Sears when it was in the East Lake Mall. I walked to Sears to get my car because I didn't have a ride and couldn't afford a cab. So I walked. I mean, I didn't feel like I was making a big deal. They say it's good for you. Can you say? So I've heard. Can you say? Of course, you know, a little while before I got there, I was beginning to think, you know something? A cab wouldn't cost as much. There's a phone booth over there. It wouldn't be far now. It wouldn't cost that much. But when church people found out that I'd walked, they said, man, why didn't you call me? Why didn't you call me? Because I actually made some friends over the years. It's not that kind of friendship. I know it's a pastor thing. I can't help it. I always tell people that I've pastored for this church for going on 36 years, the Holy Church of God. In one form or another, I have been the pastor for 36 years in January. Amen. The church has never stopped. I have not missed a Sunday except for vacation. Amen. In 36 years. Amen. God has been good to me. Amen. Sometimes I preach with the honky flu, but I preach. Amen. I'm not telling you, I didn't tell you I've never had any problems. I'm telling you, it didn't keep me out of the pulpit. Amen. However, you probably wouldn't want me laying hands on you that morning after I just blew my nose in the office. But God, God is good. God has been good to me. I have friends. And when we say friends, we think of someone that we're close to. But when Jesus used the term friend, it's really covenant talk out of the Old Testament. The Bible said there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Every time I read it, I can't help but think of Jesus. In a reference Bible, a study Bible, there's no star beside that. That means it's not prophetic of Jesus, per se, or specifically or otherwise. It's just stating the fact that if you have a covenant friend, it's different than any other kind of friendship. It's not just that you can have a friend closer than a brother. Because some brothers and sisters have issues. See, these guys are making fists over here. They're brothers in the Lord, brothers-in-law, and brothers in the Lord. They got two things that keep them connected. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. There is a friend. It has to be talking about a covenant friend. Because only friends would come into a covenant. And they had to be friends on a higher level than we see friendship. It had to be a friendship based on a deep commitment to one another. A commitment so deep that both of them agreed. Actually, when they cut that covenant, as I said this morning, they would cut a cow or a calf in half separated. Each of them stand in the puddle of blood, look each other in the eye, and say, so let this happen to me if I ever break covenant with you. That's a lot stronger than just somebody you like to hang out with. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I immediately think of Jesus, and so I should, even though it's not a prophetic specific to him. I think of him because he's made that kind of commitment to you and me. Can you say, man, he's made that kind of commitment to you and me. And it's not unusual that God would commit himself to people in that kind of relationship. Abraham, after cutting the covenant with God, was called something that they didn't dare do. It would have been blasphemous to talk this way before God himself acknowledged it. Abraham was called, not just the father of a nation. He was called something that was so powerful. Abraham was called the friend of God. Everybody say the friend of God. So when Jehoshaphat's going to fight a battle, he reminds God of that covenant. He said, remember the covenant you made with Abraham? King James, your friend forever. Can you say amen? I get into the prelude and never get to the rest. I have been getting ready to go further for what? Three different services. And it's hard to get past this. It's so glorious to me. So when Jesus said, I have not called you servants, I've called you friends. He's talking covenant language. He's talking about a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's talking about a covenant friend. He's talking about a relationship where God is committed and when we commit to him. But I want you to know straight up, this is not a 50-50 thing. Amen. When he appeared to Moses and told him, all these different things he was going to do. He said, how do I know you're going to keep your promise? So God says, well, covenants declare promises are going to be kept. So God tells him, go slay an animal. Cut him in half. He does it. The animal's laying out there. The blood has come out into a puddle on the ground. He stands back and he sees a fire pot with a blazing fire, with no one carrying it. Mystical, isn't it? God manifesting himself in a visible way. And that fire pot come and rested in the midst between those two pieces. And he said, how do you know I'm going to keep my promise? Because I'm going to come into a covenant with you. And a covenant is deep and powerful. A covenant is never supposed to be broken. By the way, I want you to understand, he didn't ask the man to come stand with him. Because if it's based 50-50, we're in trouble. Because we're going to have a real problem perfectly holding up our end. Thank you for the hearty amens. I thought I had some grunts and, holy grunts. Sometimes a holy grunt's better than nothing. But an amen really stands out in a service like this. Nobody here can be totally, 100% of the time, faithful and committed. And if you think you can, that's your fatal flaw. That's called pride. And God resists the proud. Listen, let me give you another one in case, because some people look at me like a calf at a new gate when I make these statements. I want you to have the Word of God on it. 1 John says, if we say, as Christians, we have no sin at all, we lie and do not the truth, but if we'll confess him, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from iniquity. Can you say amen? Why didn't God invite the man to stand with him? Because he said, if this covenant, if this nation fails, I'm going to be faithful. If they'll come back, they'll find me faithful. They may forsake me. I won't forsake them. And history and the Old Testament shows us plainly that God stood by his faithfulness to keep that covenant. It helps me when I pray to know that God is faithful. Hallelujah. Not some of the time, not most of the time, but all of the time. It helps me to preach to backsliders and people that have slipped away from him. If you will come back to him, amen. No matter where you've been, what you've done, if you will come back, you'll find him faithful. He will forgive your sin. He will restore your fortunes. He's faithful. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And he's faithful because he is a covenant God. I'll just read it again from Genesis 17, that this may be a standalone in the midst of a series. And when Abram, Genesis 17, was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I'm the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. Thou shalt be the father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. And I will make nations of thee. Kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations, and for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. I can't help but say it. I'm repeating it. I don't want it to be redundant, but I want to say it again tonight. They that have trusted in Christ are Abraham's seed by faith, and the blessings of faithful Abraham have come upon them. And the blessings, I want you to interpret that first. Listen, the favor of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord. Come on, just having his favor, his acceptance, his covenant love. Amen. The blessings of the Lord. Yes. It, the blessing, yes, maketh rich, true riches. See, true riches is not having meal barrels full of meal. It's having a meal barrel that is blessed, that never goes empty. Amen. Hallelujah. I am so glad when the stock market took a dive that I didn't lose anything. Everybody's hollering about what happened on Wall Street. And I said, it didn't happen on Francis Street. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Everything just fine down here on Francis Street. We got one of them blessed meal barrels. It ain't full, but you can't empty it. Can you say amen? Every time we dip out, God dips in. I don't even know where he gets it sometimes. But he dips it in. How many are making it? I asked the church this morning, how many have not starved to death? Can you say amen? How many have raiment? Come on, you don't have to go to Lake Como to go to church. Can you say amen? You're here tonight. You have something to wear. Amen. How many are content with Jesus and food and raiment tonight? How many feel blessed and rich tonight? Praise God. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. See, we're talking about something more than just the money that could, you know, listen, we're talking about God's favor. I'm working for a well done. I'm not talking about no meat neither. Can you say amen? Listen to me. I'm working to hear him say something to me, Brother Taylor. Amen. There's nothing he can do for me that's going to be better than to stand at the gate of that city, to look him in the eye and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Honey, if I wasn't working for well done, I'd hang it up. The average church in America is running about 100 people. They're community churches. Mega churches are still the exception. They are not the rule. I don't have a bone to pick with mega churches. I don't have a bone to pick with little churches. Amen. I have a bone to pick with all the churches if they're not teaching people true riches. Can you say amen? Mega or mini or micro or us even. Can you say amen? We're on radio, and it's going to be so funny sometime. We're heard in Australia. We're heard in England because there's a little old radio station about small as we are, little AM station, amen, that's broadcasting. I guess if you drive 20 miles in any direction, can you still hear that station? I don't know. But what gives it is cloud. It's hooked up to the World Wide Web. So it goes all over the place. And, you know, we have people downloading from our website in the UK and Borneo. And places, you know, just all like that. And Australia already had a listening base, listening to that particular radio station. And if somebody ever from the UK or from Australia decides to fly to Tampa because they visited our website and say, I want to go to that church. Amen. We'll go to Disney World second, but we want to go to that church first. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. They fly to Tampa, Florida, and they follow the map that they got off the web. And they get out here on Martin Luther King Boulevard and they see that big fine church sitting on the corner. You know what they're going to think? That's got to be it. That's got to be it. Yeah, that's it. Sure enough. They're going to walk in there asking for the pastor, and he's going to come out, and they're going to find out that's not me. They're going to drive down the road and see another nice facility over here. Lots of cars parked out front. And they're going to say, that's got to be it right there. And they're going to turn in the drive, amen, and find out that, no, that's not it. They won't even have to go in if they read the sign properly. Can you say amen? That's not it. Amen. But if they come a little further down the road and they look under the limbs of the trees and see our sign, that's it. You mean I came all the, that, you know, that could actually happen. Amen. It could happen. We had a group of people come to sing for us from Carolina. Amen. And they came down and brought a bus. And they told me, they walked in and asked for the pastor. And, you know, we were shorthanded. I wore many hats. Many hats. Can you say amen? I took off my suit after Sunday morning. And you couldn't get, you could get a plumber on emergency and he'd charge you three times. Amen. So I got my plunger, got on my jeans and my plunger. I headed for the bathroom that was clogged up. And I've been down there just working on that bathroom, you know. And the bus came in. It was getting near Sunday night. These bathrooms are not easily unclogged. And amen. I'm serious. We fought them things as long as we were there. Lord kept us humble. Didn't he keep us humble? Amen. No matter how great I preach what God did, boy, you get your jeans on, get in that bathroom, and you'll, Lord, keep you humble. I'm down plunging on that thing, and I lost track of time. And suddenly I heard somebody saying, is there anyone here down in that basement? I come around the corner in my jeans with a plunger in my hand, and they said, is the pastor here? And I thought, Lord, have mercy, because I didn't want to wear my watch for obvious reasons. Amen. It's a good watch. It wasn't a Rolex. It was a Timex, but I didn't want, you know what I'm saying. Amen. Yeah, I don't wear my Rolex to do plumbing. I put on my Timex for that. Now, so I come out with that. You've heard the story. And they said, is the pastor here? I said, wait a minute, I'll get him. And I went back, put the plunger down. I didn't have a suit on. I just looked at myself, tried to, and I walked back out. And I said, hello, I'm Pastor Venable. Ew. Everybody say, ew. I forgot I had the plunger in my hand before I walked out. Anyway, that could happen. People think if it's not substantial. See, that's why God said, I want to do it with Israel. I want to show you my faithfulness through a people that is going to demonstrate how faithful I am, not how great they are. Amen. He said, I didn't choose you because you're more in number. That has nothing to do with why I picked you. But I established a covenant with Abraham. And he said, on top of that, you are a stiff-necked people. My apologies to anyone who is a Jew from Israel that your lineage goes back. Because all of us have a flesh nature. And it's stubborn. God says you can't conform it. It hasn't been transformed and you can't conform it. The only solution is to crucify it with its lust. Because it will never conform. It'll play dead to keep you from killing it. Can you say amen? But it will not die without putting it on the cross. Amen? Amen? There are animals. Amen? You know what they call it? You know where playing possum come from? When someone pretends to be dead? It comes from the possum. Possum said, that thing trying to kill me. I'm going to just die. And it'll leave me be. Because it thinks I'm already dead. Why bother killing it? Did you know your flesh and my flesh will play dead? But how many know certain circumstances will determine whether it's truly dead or not? Somebody gets in your face and calls your names, you'll find out just how dead it is. Amen. And Sunday morning when we're singing the high praises of God in good circumstances, flesh will play dead and say, yeah, that's right. You don't have to crucify me. I'm dead. God said, I want to make a covenant that showcases my faithfulness. Not the people, but the God who chose to love them in spite of themselves. He said to them, because of covenant, covenant language, I have loved you. He said, what kind of covenant did you establish? An everlasting covenant. To you and your seed throughout all generations. He said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. That's covenant talk. He didn't love them because they were lovable. He didn't love them because they were lovely. He loved them because he cut a covenant. Covenant love is not based on any feeling at any given time. Covenant love is a commitment that will not be broken. See, here's a covenant friend. Number one, there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Covenant language. Jesus said, I haven't called you servants, I called you friends. And the Bible said of a true friend in the covenant sense, a friend loveth at all times. You fail that friend don't fail you. That friend don't quit you. That's why Jesus said, I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you. It wasn't based on what you do or don't do. You can leave him. I'm not saying there's not consequences. I'm saying anyone who has left him and decides to come back, they'll find him faithful. You can quit loving him. He will not quit loving you. There won't be a soul in hell that'll be there because God didn't love them and doesn't love them. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a wonderful God that we serve that loved us enough to make a covenant and to bind himself to that covenant to never forsake us. Israel would leave. The name would be changed. She would be called abandoned or forsaken. Comes back, she's called Beulah. Married. Covenant language. I don't mean contract. Now marriage is a contract, even in Christian circles. I'm talking about a sacred covenant. That's what it was then, and that's what it should be now. All right. Let's go just a little bit further tonight. I just want to read Psalm 89. We didn't read it this morning. It's part of review. Speaking of his covenant with David, let me just make this statement. A covenant implies much more than a contract or a legal agreement. That's about all we know about in our culture. Contracts are limited by time, while a covenant has eternal quality. I've loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness, I will draw you. There are people that fall into love, emotional. And you know what? They fall out of love because it's emotional. How many know your emotions can know great heights? How many know it? That it's like a roller coaster. How many's ever ridden a roller coaster? Amen. I quit that a long time ago. I don't know if it's an old thing. I don't know what it is. I just know I don't like the feeling I get anymore. It used to be a thrill. Now I don't want to have to go to an Egyptian doctor, a chiropractor. Amen. From my neck, I don't want to do that anymore. And my heart, and my blood pressure. Well, I don't have bad blood pressure, but it goes up when you go down. Can you say that? Did you know your emotions is just like a roller coaster? There will be high highs, but you won't stay at that crest. There'll be those terrible drops. Emotional love is like that. Amen. What was the country music song? We got married in a fever, Johnny Cash, hotter than a pepper sprout. Amen. And we've been talking about Jackson ever since the fire went out. Amen. Have you ever seen couples that it looked like, listen, we all have, when it's emotionally based, if it's emotion, pure emotion, emotions go up and down. They go through cycles. When love is made out of a sacred commitment, it's different. God doesn't commit himself to us in some kind of emotional moment. He said, what I'm doing today is going to last forever. No matter what you do, if you return to me, I'll return to you. Whew. Somebody say glory. Glory. Hallelujah. That's why I believe there can absolutely be total restoration in any life that will come back to God in full surrender and repentance. That's why I'm a preacher of righteousness. Yes. That's why I believe repentance, it shouldn't be an outdated, out of vogue message. Because repentance restores relationship, covenant relationship. And the restoration of a covenant relationship, amen, brings back God's covering blessings. And the blessing of the Lord, it in and of itself maketh rich. And that is the true riches. And He adds no sorrow with it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He's a good God tonight. Listen, if we could just convince the backsliders alone that God wants them back, and if they'll come back, He will forgive them and restore them, praise God. What an influx of warriors we would have back in the church to fight the good fight with us for Jesus Christ. And I don't just mean people that have quit church and gone the way of the world. I mean people that are in church, amen, but have not fully surrendered to Jesus Christ. That's as much backsliding. I mean, it's not got the same consequence. You know what I'm saying. You could be backsliding in your heart while sitting right here. And God wants you hot or cold. I would that you're hot or cold. Amen. No middle ground. Jesus never left us wiggle room. Can you say amen? So if you're wiggling tonight, there's no room. Jesus won't give you any room for that. You can't. There's no gray area. It's light or darkness. It's Christ or Belial. There's no middle ground. We do that sometimes to accommodate people. Amen. Jesus never did that. He asked for a full-blown commitment because He's made a full-blown commitment to us. Can you say amen? I'm glad for that commitment. I make a heart commitment to Him. But the strength of this covenant is not in my ability to be 100% faithful 100% of the time. The strength of this covenant is God said, amen, I'll never leave you. And I'll never forsake you. Can you say amen? That's why we're going to be in heaven. We're not going to be in heaven because we dotted every I and crossed every T. We're going to be in heaven because there's a covenant-keeping God. Can you say amen? And the blood of Jesus has been shed to establish a better covenant. But the covenant's still in place. Better covenant established on better promises. For the blood of Jesus speaks of better things than the blood of bulls and goats. But this is and always has been a blood covenant. When God cut the covenant with Abraham, He stood. God came down and stood, amen, in the blood pool between that cut in half animal and said, let this happen to me if I break my covenant with you. He said, that's enough to me to tell the people that we're in covenant with Jehovah. He's not just our creator. He's our covenant friend. Hallelujah. Somebody give Him praise tonight. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's with you because you're blood kin. But a friend that comes into covenant with you is with you because He loves you enough and trusts you enough to commit Himself 100% to you and to never abandon you. Can you say amen? We've got a God that said, I'll never. And actually in the Greek, it's emphatic. If you read it in the actual grammatical sense of the Greek, it says, I will never, no, never. Everybody say never, no, never. He's emphatic about it. Amen. Can a mother forsake her suckling child with that heart bond? She shouldn't, but can she? They found baby. They found a newborn baby in a commode in Disney World where a mother carrying that baby didn't want it, and the baby passed. She went into labor, passed it, left it, and they got that baby. They found them in trash bins, some alive and some dead. Can a mother forsake her suckling child? Yea, she may. It's possible for emotional love to break down. Can you say amen? And some of you moms can't imagine that. There's strong emotional love. Don't get me wrong. I'm not discrediting all of that emotion. But it can break down. Can a mother do that? We're seeing it. We've seen it. It continues to happen. But He said, my love is not like that. Can't break down. Can a mother forsake her suckling child? Yea, she may, but I will never forsake you, O house of Israel. Now, when they worship false gods, he couldn't bless them. But he didn't abandon them. He didn't quit them. He didn't turn them over with no recourse. They served 70 years, the Babylonian king. But after the 70 years, they repented fully. A new generation come along. Amen. He took them away from Babylon. He restored their fortunes. He brought them back to the land. He reestablished them as a nation and a people. Showed his loving kindness toward them. Showing that to every generation, I'm a covenant-keeping God. If you will return to me, I will return to you. Can you say amen? Glory to God. I believe we need in the church of Jesus Christ, amen, we need a returning to God. Can you say amen? I mean to God in the sense of bowing to no other God. I mean to God in the sense that recognizing that having Jesus as our Savior is more important than the riches of 10 million worlds. Can you say amen? I mean coming back to God and saying, whether you bless me with riches or whether you don't, you're my God, you're my Savior, and I will serve you. Can you say amen? I believe if we return to God, he will return to us. And we will see things differently. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And the true riches begins with the blessing of the Lord. Amen? Not the stuff that results from the blessing. But the blessing, his favor, his acceptance, his covenant keeping. Power, his covering, the covert of his wings. Praise God. One who promises you have the not only the capability of falling, you have the probability. So Paul put his trust in the one, not in him, not in the fact that he could never stumble, but the one who would ultimately lift him up. And he said, now unto him I do this every time. I can't help. Because I stood in the pulpit at the Holy Church of God many times. Two huge chairs behind us. That church we inherited, the furniture, they were the high-backed, solid oak, big old, you know, they had these little stick things, you know, on the little ornamental things on the top. I remember one Saturday going in and working on something in the ceiling, walking the catwalk, drop ceiling. There's nothing but, you know, cross pieces, and there's a catwalk. I'm walking the catwalk carefully, and I hit a loose board that was loose on this side, didn't know it. When I hit it with this foot, I stepped on that side, it came up and flipped me out into the drop ceiling. Now I know where I'm going. I'm going down. Amen. So I reached forward, reflex, and the tips of my fingers grabbed one of the cross pieces. And I back on part of that catwalk was one ankle. The ceiling under me just went down. Kathy and my wife were sitting there. She was our song leader at the time. They were sitting there, you know, waiting for me to get done and come down. And suddenly all of this ceiling tiles come down. Insulation after that come down. And then they saw my one foot dangling. And my body just kind of bowed, you know, with my fingertips hanging here and one ankle. Now, the problem is, I have kept myself from falling to that degree. You know, I've done everything I know to do to keep from falling. But the problem is, I can't get back to the catwalk. And the other problem is, I had not been exercising my fingers. Amen? I mean, you understand, this is my full weight being held by my ankle and the tips of my fingers. I didn't have a grip like this. I had a grip like that. And I'm thinking, this, you know, and my wife saw me, and they knew he's coming down. And it's a long way down. And I'm hanging over those big chairs. It's bad enough to belly flop on that floor, let alone be, you know, fall on the back of those chairs. So I'm hanging there. They start praying. I start praying. Amen. And I'm hanging, and y'all are laughing. Y'all are so bad. Y'all are so bad. No, I'm kidding. You know the story. I've told it before, because you know what's going to happen. Listen. They begin to pray. I begin to pray. Now, I cannot. I didn't try to do something. See, that's it. If the strength isn't in God's power to keep us, amen, we'll never be able to pull it off ourselves. The strength of the covenant has to be in His promise. My faithfulness right now, and I'm trying my best to be faithful. In order to be faithful to Him, I have to trust in His faithfulness to me. When I go through trials, my faithfulness will never bring me through. My commitment to not break down, get depressed, get discouraged will not bring me through. So the issue, listen to how his strength of the covenant comes in here. No trial has come upon you but that which is common to man. But be faithful. No, but God is faithful. Doesn't mean that we're not supposed to be faithful. It means without His faithfulness, we can't be faithful. What does He give us when we're weak? He's faithful to give us what? Sufficient grace. Without sufficient grace, what can we do with our faith? With all the faith in the world? Nothing. Amen. What was sufficient for Paul? Just build your faith. We got a message out there today that faith is a cure-all for everything and a do-all to get in everything done. And they looked at Paul with his mighty anointing. His writings, they were so powerful, 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. He knew how they were looking at him. Wow, what a mighty spiritual paragon. And he was a mighty man of God. But when they looked at him that way, you know what he said? By the grace of God, I am what I am. Amen. By the what? The grace of God. Because when he was going through it, and he prayed to be delivered from it, God told him, my strength is perfected in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you. And it changed his whole perspective. He said, the things I thought were such a bother, and he said, I will take pleasure in persecutions and necessities for his sake. Wow. You're talking about a man of God. When he said, if it keeps me close to Christ, if it identifies the true riches, if it crushes the rose so the fragrance of Him can come out even greater, then what they're doing to me is going to rebound to glory for Him. And I have sufficient grace that He grants me. The book of Philippians, one of the most encouraging books that he wrote. If you're discouraged, read the book of Philippians, the letter of Paul to the church at Philippi. It was written while he was under house arrest with a very uncertain future is for it. God knew his future, but he had put himself in God's hands. He was not a man standing before a great audience being whisked away with a limo to some grand hotel room. He was in the hands of those who wanted to harm him. And yet he's writing words of great victory to the church. He's in victory because God's grace is sufficient for him. Can you say amen? What a wonderful, mighty, matchless. I've got to quit, but this is so powerful. Amen. To understand the covenant language of the New Testament. And in fact, I can't really finish or go much further in any of these many avenues we've started down. We've got to see the friend that sticketh closer than the brother as being a covenant friend. The friend that loveth at all times. One of the most heartbreaking things that you will ever experience is have a friend that you have known and trusted for years. See, an enemy can't hurt you like that. Enemy can't hurt you like that. If Anton LaVey came up to me and spit in my face and said, I hate you Christians to pieces, I wouldn't go home with a broken heart. I would pray for him, but it wouldn't. It'd break my heart that he's lost. There's compassion for the lost, but it wouldn't get my goat. You know what I'm talking about. I wouldn't have to go through a process of forgiveness and prayer. You know, I just say, Lord, forgive him. He don't know what he's doing. Save him before it's too late. But when you have a friend, forsakes you, betrays you, turns against you, quits you altogether, it breaks your heart. If you've been through a divorce and you had a real close marriage at one time, psychologists tell us, and this is hard to believe, but they tell us this, and I believe it, that it is easier to get over a death of a loved one than it is someone who rejects you. It's a terrible feeling to be rejected. That's why when Israel felt like there was no hope for them and that God would surely reject them, he said, there's a covenant here, and I will never reject you. I won't leave you. I won't abandon you. There's a friend brothers and sisters can fall. I've been in funerals where people have been warring for years, and they're brought together for a funeral. And you could feel the tension. You could cut it with a knife. Amen. And I have been in funerals where I heard fights, not literal fists, but verbal fights start just before the ceremony is. People that had been at odds for years are suddenly brought together, and they start letting all that steam off within a family. There's got to be a friend that sticks closer than emotional or family ties, something stronger and greater. God said, if I don't establish this kind of covenant, there's no keeping power. Let me finish this story because I'm still hanging. I'm getting tired. I said, Lord, where was I? He said, you was hanging. I said, okay, thank you, Lord. They begin to pray. I, of course, was praying. I cannot explain this. It wasn't like a physical touch. It's more like air pressure. Just, it flipped me. From, you understand, one foot is dangling down, fingers are here, foot is caught back there, ankle. I can't do anything with the leg. It's twisted around, just the ankle. Suddenly there's this, and I'm on the catwalk. Now, I've never been to Circus Soleil or any of these things. I've seen it on television. But you can take one of those characters and put them in my position. I guarantee you, they can't do what happened to me. Amen. You saw the one with the Cirque du Soleil ladies advertising a, you know, you're advertising a motel room. She goes in, there's these huge curtains for this motel chain. And, you know, she climbs up the curtain and hangs all backward and does a handstand on one hand on the counter. You put her in my position. Yeah, you put her in my position. I don't care if she's triple jointed. You put her in my position. Fingertips and ankle. You can't flip yourself back. There's no grip. There's nothing to use. And when I was laying on that and they're sitting there looking, how did he do that? Well, he didn't do that. God did that. He had to do it. So every time I come to that scripture, I have to tell that story. If I preach on it 100 times, you're going to hear it 100 times. I can't help it because I would stand in that pulpit and it happened on this side from that perspective. And I would always say, now unto him. I never say, now unto him who keeps you from falling. I say, now unto him who keeps you from falling. Thank God it's him that keeps us from falling. Hallelujah. And because he keeps that kind of covenant with us, he's able to present us in a way that we could never present ourselves at our very best effort. Not only does he keep us from falling, which means going back into sin, but he presents us before the Father faultless. Faultless. I'm not faultless. How about you, my brother? Are you faultless? When Jesus presents us to the Father, because of the blood that he shed on the cross, we're going to be able to stand there faultless. He gives us a robe called righteousness. It is not ours, it's his. Yours is faulty at its best. How do you know? The scripture says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Can you say amen? And the Bible said that our righteousness, all of our attempt is as a filthy rag. Compared to God's holiness, what we think our best is a filthy rag. Not just a... I'm talking about something you don't put in the washer and bleach out. I'm talking about something the only place for it is the garbage can. Amen? Our attempt, our best effort. And then everybody thinks they know somebody that is that good. So the Bible said we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none. Well, what about Abraham? It was imputed to him. I don't mean he wasn't righteous, but not righteous enough to get into that city with those people. When we get to heaven, We're going to look around that city. We're not going to ogle all that stuff. There's going to be such a sense of holy awe that we are there. And we're going to understand the strength of this covenant, this blood covenant. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? I do not deserve the place that I'm going to live forever. But I'm going to live there forever. And the thing that's going to keep pulling praise out of me, you think, well, after we've praised Him about 1,000 years, you think we'll get tired of it just being the same thing over and over? No. Angels in the presence of God, they've been crying holy ever since they were created. And they just can't quit. And angels, the closest to Him, they don't just cry holy, they cry holy, 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 according to Isaiah chapter 6. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. There's two words that mark all the praise in heaven. Amen. Two words. Amen. You'll find it throughout Revelation where it's taking place. Amen. If you want to know what a heavenly worship is going to be like, just open the book of Revelation and look for two words to keep occurring over and over. Holy and worthy. Holy is the Lord and worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb and holy is the Lord. Can you say amen? We're going to realize that He's worthy of more praise than we could ever give Him throughout all eternity, because we don't belong here. But thank God through His blood we are here. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb and holy is the Lord. And we're here with Him forever. Can you say amen? Somebody give God praise tonight. Brother, would you come? Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to read this scripture. Speaking of His covenant with David, God says in Psalm 89, 30 through 36, if His children forsake My law and walk not in My judgments, if they break My statutes and keep not My commandments, then I will visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. God chastens the one He loves, even His covenant people. And everyone said, amen. Nevertheless, My loving kindness will I not utterly take from Him, nor suffer My faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has come out of My lips. Once I have sworn by My holiness, I will not lie to David. His seed shall endure forever, and His throne shall be as the sun before Me. David will fail, but God will be faithful. When David repents, God restores him. And restores him with such a restoration in spite of what he did and what a dastardly thing he did, that they call Jesus Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David. Oh, I'm into repentance. When David repented, didn't God restore him? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He had such a... Listen, if he was in our society, nobody would elect him to elected office, knowing his background. He could not run for elected office. David could not run. If you knew what he did, read it in depth. He couldn't run for any elected official. His past would have overshadowed all of that. He couldn't have got a job where I used to work in a milk and ice cream plant. He couldn't have got a job there because he would have been a felon. Can you say amen? Murder in the first degree is a felony. And you can't work there if you're a convicted felon. And he did it. He fessed up that he did it. But he also fessed up to God that he did it. And God took away the iniquity of his sin. Can you say amen? And restored his soul and restored his kingdom. Hallelujah. And he died with the testimony that he was a man after God's own heart. Because God's a covenant-keeping God. Not because David was a covenant-keeping man to the nth degree. Can you say amen? Isn't that good news tonight that there's restoration with him? Hallelujah. And he died. These be the last words of the sweet psalmist of Israel. Can you say amen? None of us would be saved tonight if God hadn't committed himself to come into a covenant. And Jesus hadn't honored the covenant enough to lay on the cross to keep covenant. And that covenant's to 1,000 generations. I want to see a mighty revival take place of those that will come back to God so God can return to them. And His blessing on your life is worth more than all the currency in the world. Within 6 months after the stock market crash here recently. Seven of some of the richest among us worldwide committed suicide. One man in his mansion, because he had lost it in the stocks, and that's all he had, was found hanging by his own belt in his closet of his mansion. One man drove his car in the Enron thing before this other fall, just the Enron, when it all kind of a precursor of things to come, when all of these false numbers, it all came out and that just blew up. He was an executive, one of the executives of the Enron Corporation, and suddenly all that was gone and possible criminal charges were coming. He pulled his Mercedes to a stoplight several blocks from his home, pulled a revival from his, a revival. Oh, that he would have pulled a revival instead of a revolver. He pulled a revolver from his glove compartment, put it to his head, engine idling in neutral at a red light, and took his life. The church better start teaching true riches. If he knew the true riches, he wouldn't have become so depressed because he lost some money. If you still got God and a blessed meal barrel, food and raiment, you're supposed to be what? C-O-N-T-E-N-T. Content people don't blow their heads off. We're talking about how to get stuff more than we're talking about Him in heaven. And if God isn't judging America economically, then the devil is stronger than God Almighty, and he's overriding him. America is getting a wake-up call. We got it in 2001 at 9/11. They asked Billy Graham's daughter. I was sitting, by the way, in that East Lake Mall when they interviewed. Well, no, it wasn't East Lake. It was another place. Waiting on my car. Same thing, though, to be fixed. And on the major news network, CBS, I think, instead of CNN, they asked Billy Graham's daughter, where was God when the terrorist took over 3,000 lives? Where was God? I'm glad she gave the right answer. She said, you can't push him out of the school system. Push him out of the public arena. You can't have a manger scene in the town square because you don't want him there. You can't cover up the Ten Commandments on every wall in every public building and then ask where he is when trouble comes. She looked at the camera and looked at them and says, you can't have it both ways. Amen. How many know we can't have it both ways? But if we will return to him, he will return to us. Can you say amen? Amen. Nothing wrong. Right with God. I want to say that there's nothing wrong. Right with God. I want to say that again. There's nothing wrong. Right with God. Hallelujah. Amen. I expect in our life a mighty move of the Holy Ghost, because I don't know about you, but I'm running to him. Can you say amen? I'm not tentative about that. Will you stand to your feet tonight? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ikolobo hosanda da masatia. Hallelujah. A covenant is best understood in the framework of a friendship relationship. A true friend is completely committed to stay in relationship no matter what. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times. You've got to see that in covenant framework or you won't understand. Everybody's lost a friend. Everybody's had your heart broke. God says, you can count on me. You can count on me. You can count on me. Would you bow your heads? And I'm going to ask very quickly, is there anybody in this room? And do you have that disc from this morning? Amen. Would you please play number one? We'll just have a few moments of worship to close the service. Is there room in your life to move closer to him? Is there room in your life and your value system for God to show you the true riches. I'm not telling you that God's not going to bless you with the things you need. He promised to do that. He said, take ye no thought for that. Take ye no thought for what you eat or drink or wherewith you be clothed. That's going to drain that's going to change your focus. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things. They'll be a bonus. They'll be added to you. But put the kingdom first in your life. Kingdom peace can't be bought with silver and gold. Kingdom joy can't be. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not something you indulge your flesh with. It's righteousness. It's peace. And it's joy in the Holy Ghost. Michael Jackson was worth millions. He was called the King of Pop. In order to sleep, he had to be put under. He couldn't take a sleeping pill. He couldn't take a Xanax. He could not take a Valium. He was so tormented. And everybody who is idolizing the King of Pop, this poor, poor, tormented soul that had the millions of dollars, that had the adulation of fans who lifted him to almost worship level. But when he went to sleep, they had to put a drip in his vein and put him under as if he was going to have surgery. Satan has sold the world a bill of goods because he said, this will make you happy. This will fulfill you. He's a liar and the father of it. When he lifts up silver as gold as the ultimate, he is absolutely getting people to miss the true riches. If you can lay your head down tonight with that peace, that kingdom peace ruling, you're richer than the man in the penthouse tonight that is having to drink himself into a stupor in order to lay down on those satin sheets. Can you say amen? This peace is worth more. You can't buy it on the marketplace. If you're a billionaire, you can't purchase it. And this joy, it's righteousness, it's peace, and it's what? Joy in the Holy Ghost. You know what that is? That's not when God comes down in the service and momentarily gives you a shouting good time, a liver shiver on Sunday morning. You know what the Holy Ghost, He's the mediator of the presence of Jesus Christ to us. He testifies of Him when He comes. He mediates the presence of God to us. And in His presence is what? Fullness of joy. And in His right hand, just being that close to Him, is pleasure forevermore. So if you're after the silver and gold, you're here tonight, it hasn't solved the deep longings of your heart. That house, how many times do we see these movie stars in fights, checking into Betty Ford, checking into alcohol? One man who's on a show about where he's a sexual, out-of-control guy, that's his character, just checked into because all his relationships were tainted with his sexual urges. He's checked into a clinic for sexual addicts. Driven. There's no peace in that. There's no fulfillment in that. In a series of one-night stands, but having to go home by yourself and still be alone. Being in a crowd and being empty and alone. Traveling to an exotic island and drinking some kind of wonderful drink and feeling high for a moment, but coming down and crashing into loneliness and depression. Jesus said, I'll give you life. And I'll give it to you more abundantly because I'll give you my peace with it, my joy with it. So come home to me. Come back to me. Would you bow your head once again? How many people feel in your heart there's room to draw closer to Him? That's part of returning to Him. It's not that we're totally away from Him. It's just that we need to draw even more closer to Him tonight. I need this peace. I need this joy. That's my truth. That's part of the true riches. I want to see a revival in America and where God's people return to Him so He can return to them. And you say, Brother Venerable, how will we know that He's back? Oh, darling, you'll know when He's back. Can you say amen? Because when enemies come against you, God's going to stand up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And the sound of joy is going to be heard from God's camp again. And the sound of singing and great rejoicing. There's never been a revival that wasn't marked with joyous singing. Hallelujah. Because God has restored our fortunes. Our children that are lost. In that revival, Joel talked about the hearts of the daddies going to go back to the sons, and the hearts of the sons are going to return to the dads. Praise God, it's coming, because we're returning to Him. Hallelujah. And He restores the years the caterpillar, cankerworm, palmer worm, and locust hath eaten. Father, you've seen the hands, you see the hearts. Hallelujah. And Father, we commit ourselves to you right now. Just for a moment, I want you to praise Him. Brother, would you let it play? Just for a moment. Just for a moment. Just give Him praise tonight. Just give Him praise tonight.